This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. One day there is optimism for finishing NAFTA with Canada, and the next prospects are dim. Then the next person the reporters talk to associated with the negotiation expresses optimism again. They are going back at it today. They have missed a couple of soft deadlines, but the end of the month would appear to be a hard one. If there is no agreement by then bringing in Canada, NAFTA likely will go away without a NAFTA 2.0. Canada's primary hurdles are the dispute resolution mechanism called Chapter 19, which was written out of the agreement with Mexico. I do not know what Mexico got for that except a bilateral agreement. Another less talked about hurdle is cultural issues. Canada has limitations that ban U.S. media firms from buying Canadian cultural industries such as TV and newspapers. They want to maintain the ban. The other hurdle is milk. The Canadian dairy industry currently absorbs a huge trade deficit in dairy trade with the United States as our largest export customer and did utilize a tariff on Class 7 milk to respond to the pressures of imports. Trump has focused on the tariff, and his surrogates, Sonny Perdue, are passing along the message that in order for Canada to get into the New Deal, the tariff has to go. I think he means it. I would say that it is politically impossible for the Canadian government to throw their dairy industry under the bus in order to placate the U.S. Under their system, they buy quotas, and those quotas become their equity. Canadian farmers borrow money on the basis of their quotas. Eliminating the Class 7 tariff would put their whole system at risk, even getting to their farm lending institutions. I don't know what the alternative is. I think they have to find one, as they need to get included in NAFTA 2.0. I suppose they could subsidize their industry to compensate for losses, but would somehow have to shrink it more, maybe a buyout then. Small dairy farms are part of the Canadian culture. This is a real conundrum, and Trump has no sympathy to help them with this problem and to this point little flexibility to give on U.S. demands. It could be politically advantageous for him to drop NAFTA, put more tariffs on Canada, and claim that he kept his promise to end it. If he could bring a bilateral agreement in the back door with Mexico, that makes most of the heat from the U.S. ag sector cool. The bait and switch with Trade Promotion Authority, which promised to renegotiate NAFTA, while instead delivering a bilateral trade agreement that unions have not approved of, may be legislatively impossible with the new Congress. If they did not approve, Trump can then say that he made a great deal with Mexico and Democrats killed NAFTA. This thing is not done yet at all. There are a lot of ways for this to go south. They are making Hurricane Florence sound like the storm of the century. The governors of the two Carolinas have ordered mass evacuations of over 1.2 million people to get away from the storm. The hurricane is currently classified as a Category 4 with sustained winds up to 140 miles per hour. There will be some crops destroyed as a result of the storm, but the Corn Belt is a long ways away. It will be a major economic disruption for the southeast U.S. The Carolina hog industry will be disrupted. Soybeans reacted positively to word of a frost event in China and curtailment of soy auctions there before it dawned on the trade that it makes no difference if they are avoiding buying here. This will be the biggest trade war ever in history. I was told when the first tariffs were announced that the trade war would last a couple of months, June and July, and then they would settle in August. I was told that I was too bearish. We are into our fourth month of trade war with China now, and they are dug in until after the election. As noted, there could be another expansion of the trade war unless Trump backs down on what he threatened over Iran. Trump set the red line that any country that does business with Iran cannot do business with us without a waiver in November. Obama made the mistake of setting a red line and then backing down. It'd be interesting to see how tough Trump is in enforcing his red line. China is scouring the world for soybeans in far remote places in order to avoid having to come here for any supply. I think they would feed their hogs and chickens straight corn before they bought soy here. African swine fever will help them trim usage. I can't say that it hurt my feelings to learn that ethanol RFS nemesis Texas Senator Ted Cruz was only ahead by 1% in polls for his race for re-election. The close Texas Senate race has Ted staying home from Washington to campaign, urgent pleas being made to donors, Big Oil, for funds, and an upcoming visit from his RFS diluting 1.6 billion bushel demand-killing partner, President Trump. I actually surprised that I'm able to accurately describe the president's ethanol RFS record that way. He sold this out bigly. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at Comstock.com or call 712-227-1110.